dark outside.
It is
scary.
Yeah, dark and got a little lighter, but it's getting dark again as these storms move through this morning.
I was just checking the WGN Weather Center radar. I love this weather app because you can go on there and look at the weather, you know, look at their radar map, and you can set it, like, you know, to check what it's going to be later in the day. And it looks fairly clear till about 6, 7 o'clock.
Yeah, the storms are moving through this morning.
Holy smokes. And then like around midnight. Holy smokes.
More coming in later tonight and overnight, right?
Yeah, I tell you.
Be a lot of fun with the dog again tonight.
as the dog Thunder.
He never used to be with went out for the 4th of July a couple of years ago, and one of my neighbors was being irresponsible and fired off a couple of M80s, and that scared him enough to
scare me.
Yeah, it kept and it stuck with him, unfortunately for us. And for him.
I got one of those Thunder collars to wear. Very attractive look.
That goes right along with the chains you wore in the 70s,
back
right?
In the day.
The disco.
Oh, yeah. Sabertooth, yeah. It's going to come back. You'll see.
And you'll be ready.
So, what a morning to deal with the news of the day.
Weather and following developments here that suddenly occurred yesterday evening.
The shooting last night. Very disturbing. Very, very disturbing, the whole thing.
Yeah, one of the big questions is, well, we now know that News Nation has been reporting that the AR-style rifle that was used by the person that's responsible for this.
20-year-old kid.
20-year-old, and was bought by his father.
Dad bought it.
And now the big question is how he was able to get that into the area and was just outside the perimeter of the...
I was going to say, wasn't he outside
of the perimeter? He was outside of it, but
like
still...
On a rooftop.
But still,
how is that not being monitored?
That's what we're trying to determine here.
Don't they have... They have copters and drones and...
Mm-hmm.
Heat sensitive.
Yeah.
You know, so you can see if there's anybody hiding anywhere.
Yeah.
It shows up on these heat.
It shows body heat.
Body heat.
Yeah. So, we don't know that. That's what they're trying to determine right now.
Well, it's not going to be a regular Sunday show today. Let me just say that. We've got some things planned, and also I should mention the labor show that's on before our show is a recorded show, and they were saying things, I guess, and doing things all on a recorded show before the shooting took place. So I mean, some people on the text line are upset or don't understand or whatever. That's how that happened. Let me take a break here, and then we'll come back and kind of go down what we know. Shawnee, I'm going to put this on you today, covering, the X's and O's of, what's going to be going on today. Because just, repeating the same things over and over and over again and people speculating does absolutely no good. Let's take a break and we'll kind of lay things out here. Does that work for you?
That's fine with me.
I am here at your service today.
Sean. That's what we're here for.
Shawnee, I am here at your service. You are the captain of the ship today when we have serious news things to talk about.
We do have serious news things to talk about, and may I say also that I was on a very beautiful boat yesterday observing the start of the Mackinac race.
I was wondering how quick you were going to try to sneak that in someplace. we'll get to that too, dear. Stick around. Don't go away. We've got a different thing going on with the commercials today. And we'll be right back. 9:14. Remember this song, Shawnee?
Yes, I do.
1966.
66, I think.
Barry Maguire.
Barry Maguire, right. I'm sitting
here. One of the first things that I thought of when I heard the news of the former president being the assassination attempt was, what in the hell is going on in this world that we're living in? And don't you just feel like this song, even though it's from so many years ago, is still so relevant of what a crazy, insane, eve of destruction kind of world that we're living in right now? I can't explain it. I can't. It's even hard to verbalize it of, you know, the way that you feel with the insanity that is going on everywhere. And I only have to, I was thinking about, you know, should we take phone calls today? Should we just, you know, hear what people have to say about this? It is so hate-filled on our text line right now, on both sides. Both sides. I just soon, there's no point. There's no point in just throwing kerosene on all of that. So I think we're probably not going to do that today. Shawnee, I'm going to, you know, leave it to you to cover the, you know, the latest stories. I mean, the latest this morning, correct me if I'm wrong, I say I'm going to leave it to you and then I'm going to summarize. Can't believe anything I say. is that overnight they did reveal the name of the shooter, right? Is that right?
Thomas Matthew Crooks. All of 20 years old.
20-year-old kid whose father bought him the
what has been described as an AR, a style assault rifle, yes.
The assault rifle that has been so talked about, you know, in so many other shootings. And now is, you know, part of this conversation as well. But that's where we are with this. Former President Trump has issued some statements this morning, and Shawnee's going, you know, is covering that. We don't really know anything more. You know, we're hearing reaction from politicians, from everybody. I mean,
from everybody,
a lot of people.
Not only politicians, but Cardinal Supich just issued a statement.
Yeah,
just issued a statement. You know, praying for continued recovery. We should emphasize that the president, former president himself, has said he's fine. He is in Bedminster, New Jersey, at his home there, which now has been closed off, of course. But, you know, he was released from the local hospital in Pennsylvania after being treated there, and has been there in New Jersey, and again has said that he's going to be speaking at the Republican National Convention starting tomorrow in Milwaukee.
Right, right. Of the reaction, of all the reaction that I heard and read since yesterday, to me, none sums it up better than former President Barack Obama's reaction, who says there is absolutely no place for political violence in our democracy. Although we don't know exactly what happened yet, we should all be relieved that former President Trump wasn't seriously hurt. And here's the line in this to me: use this moment to recommit ourselves to civility and respect in our politics, which is what I mean when I say, you know, the eve of destruction and the craziness and what the heck's going on in this world right now. That's what I mean.
The total lack of civility.
Yeah. Lowering the inflammatory remarks. If you saw our text line and the complete absolute hate that is on our text line, that will tell you exactly where America is right now. That, you know, does absolutely nobody any good. There are some this morning that are trying to politicize all of this, use the shooting for a political advantage. That does nobody any good. You know, it just seems like everything just needs to calm way, 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 way down during this whole thing. It doesn't make any sense to me. as President Biden said. So, you know, that's where we are with all this this morning. Andy, how are you? Andy's the
I'm lovely.
Andy's the calming voice of reason.
No, I try to be, you know.
No matter what's going on.
But I always get told to stick to sports, so I'll stick to sports.
You, may I just add one other thing very quickly here? You talk about unity and coming together in civility. The president's remarks last night that, you know, he was going to try and talk with former President Trump. He, in fact, did. We don't know what was said between the two men, but, you know, they did establish contact last night. So, you know, statements from both sides of the aisle, so to speak, or statements from both political parties are all indeed unified in saying that this has no place in the country at all.
Well,
not at all.
Not exactly completely unified to that, because I saw some pretty inflammatory reactions.
There were some.
Of, you know, people, you know, some are playing the blame game and saying, you know, this happened because of the other side. This wouldn't have happened except for the other side. And sort of both sides are saying that. You know, some are saying, you know, that if the Democrats didn't demonize Donald Trump, that this wouldn't have happened. And the other side saying that if Donald Trump hadn't used, you know, didn't use such inflammatory language, that people wouldn't have reacted that way. So, I mean, both sides are doing exactly that same thing. What does that get us? You know what I would love? I would love for Donald Trump and Joe Biden to get together and say, you know what? We are calling upon all of our supporters to calm the hell down. Everybody, you know, a statement of unity and
from
peace.
From both of them.
Mm-hmm. That if we're going to live in a democracy, then we can't have this kind of insane reaction, because that's how people react now. You know, people are reacting now by going to getting a gun and sitting on a rooftop and waiting to shoot somebody. It's crazy.
We also should point out that two people remain in critical condition, and one person was killed during this incident, shot in the head, and was
that a person that was sitting behind the president?
Behind the president.
Former president.
All three of the shooting victims were on the bleachers there behind the president.
So as the shooter was aiming at former President Trump, he fatally shot one person.
Right.
And two other people are still critically injured.
That's right. We don't know their names yet, but, you know, the people that did survive the incident are in critical condition.
Well, we'll keep you posted on what's going on with the latest news. It was starting to get on my nerves a little bit last night, you know, after hours, 5-6 hours after the shooting. And, you know, reporters just rehashing the same thing, or, you know, saying the same things over and over and over and over and over. And what's the point of that? I would rather not do that. I would rather not put fuel on this fire. I would just like to see, let's see what happened. Let's see what's going on. Let's see how we can prevent anything like this from going on. And let's hope that things have to calm down in America. You know, that's all there is to it. You know, we all need a nice, refreshing, cool beverage right now.
How about a Fresca?
Andy, a nice cold Fresca would be...
That'd be ideal right now.
I love me some Fresca.
Such a good drink.
Do either one of you drink iced coffee, cold coffee?
I do, every day.
I can't deal with cold coffee.
Really?
No. And you know how much coffee I drink.
Yes, he does. He drinks a lot.
But cold coffee, no.
It's delicious.
Even in weather like this.
Ice cold coffee?
Yeah. No.
Sweetened?
Oh, yeah.
No. No.
A little iced cream tea in there, yeah.
Do you like iced tea?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You like iced tea, but you don't like
iced coffee. I like iced tea, but I don't like cold coffee.
See, I'm the other way around. I like the cold coffee, don't like the iced tea.
I love everything.
Yeah.
I'm a lover of everything.
Not that's like not you, what you tell me.
Not like you two polarizing figures. That's not, figures.
What you tell me.
Didn't I just say we're trying to calm
down? Trying to calm down here.
You know what? I'll try some iced tea today. How about that?
You are trying to get people to argue about iced tea and iced coffee. I just said 5 minutes ago we need to calm down.
But you brought up the cool, refreshing drink.
Oh, don't blame everybody now.
It's just ice cold water that I have. I'm going to enjoy
it. Oh, that'll work.
I'm going to enjoy another sip.
That'll work.
You bring it up. Try to stop me.
Refreshing.
In this hot weather. Crazy. Okay, so now what's the deal with the weather? Because I'm looking at the radar. And I don't know if you know, I am a trained meteorologist. When I look at this radar. It looks like the rain is done going through the area.
Not yet, because we have a severe thunderstorm warning until 9:42 for Will County. Later this morning, 11:30 or so, the storms will move out, and then another round moving in later this afternoon, perhaps, and overnight once again, which, is the case with this very warm weather. Temperatures in the mid-90s for today and tomorrow, and heat indices over 100, 105. So this is definitely a time to drink that cold beverage and preferably water to stay hydrated.
What are you suggesting, that I've got something else in the glass? A nice gin and tonic?
Those are refreshing.
Those are very refreshing.
Yeah.
I don't know about 9:25 in the morning.
No.
I enjoy a nice gin and tonic.
I'll take a nice cold glass of just plain old water
A little early in the day for me to be hitting the
the gin and tonic.
That would be nice on a hot afternoon. That is so refreshing, isn't it?
Mm. Gin and tonic, vodka and tonic.
Yeah, delicious. That's how we deal with the stress on our show. I don't know how other shows deal with this. I don't know what they're doing over at CNN right now, but we're dreaming about a nice gin and tonic. Let me bring on to the program at this time the producer of Dean Richards' Sunday morning program. His name is Jack Hammer, as we now call him. Jack, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. I worked a tractor pull yesterday.
I beg your pardon?
A tractor pull in Joliet.
What do you mean you worked a tractor pull?
I did camera for it.
Oh.
So I'm hurting a little bit. I went to bed late.
So
you weren't pulling the tractors yourself then?
No. Okay. The way these guys do it, it's like they get a tractor and then they put huge engines in them and then they see how far they can pull a sled.
They're not pulling each other. They're just pulling other heavy
They're
things.
They're trying to see how many feet they pull it.
Wow.
It's crazy. Hmm. But yeah.
How have we not thought of that for the next tree time show?
I know a couple people.
They got a nice big area out there in Lake Barrington.
I'm sure they love that.
Oh, that field that's away from the store there.
Swanee on one tractor, me on the other. What could go
wrong? Trying to pull heavy objects.
That sounds fun.
What could possibly go wrong in a situation like that? So I'm bringing Jack Hammer onto the show. Because just before the show started, you received a text from Dr. Jeremy Silver, who was set to do our medical segment at 9:30, saying what?
He actually just texted me. He's all clear.
Oh, so we're good then.
Yep.
But he was on a plane.
Yeah.
Saying, I may not be able to do the show.
Yep. But he landed and he said he'll try to find a quiet spot in the airport. Give us a report.
See, so many things are looking up already.
Oh, there you go. We had to rather improvise. Was it last week, the week before, he was called away?
Yeah, it was last week.
And
we gave our own medical advice.
We had our own medical advice. Dr. Malpractice was our guest.
Yeah. I had the American Medical Association contact me during the week and ask me to please never do that again.
I'm not surprised.
So I'm happy to accommodate. We will get to that and our far-flung forecast in just a moment. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You're positive?
Yes.
Am I killing time?
I think you are.
Looking for the right button?
I think you may be.
You are correct, sir. We have a slightly different configuration on our control board today.
That's the case every week. What would this show be without some dead air? You know?
I like to put some dramatic pauses in the show. People, it's Sunday morning, people are waking up slowly. I don't want to jar anybody. Mostly myself.
That I can understand.
But now there's some technical things that are different today. That should be a doozy of a technical morning. We'll see. Time for the far-flung forecast. With the latest, the ever-present voice of reason, Dave Schwann.
Thank you very much for noting that, Uncle Dean. Good morning, everyone.
Don't get used to it.
I won't. After doing the show all these years, no, I won't get used to it.
Very good.
But get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices, everyone, because today we're going south. Today we're going south to Dayton, Tennessee. Dayton, Tennessee has a population of 7,065.
7,065.
It is the county seat of Rhea County, Tennessee.
I like to take notes.
And was initially settled around 1820 as Smith's Crossroads, but later renamed Dayton, Ohio, and incorporated as such in 1903. However,
said Dayton, Tennessee, I thought you said.
Well, it was named for Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, named for it.
Yeah. And then incorporated as Dayton, Tennessee in 1903. But we bring this up today because it was 99 years ago, right now, that what was being termed as the trial of the century was taking place in Dayton, Tennessee, the famous John Scopes trial. The local teacher there, John Scopes, accused of violating a state law teaching evolution in the public schools. This elevated into a major, major event that was covered by everybody, including a radio station that had been on the air for just about 3 years, WGN.
Hey, that's our call letter.
That's our call letters.
Hey, that's us.
And they were at the scene in the very courthouse. And by the way, Producer Jack, I have pictures. I've been there, and I will send them to you, and we can put them up on the website of the Rhea County Courthouse in the very room where this trial took place. William Jennings Bryan assisting the prosecution, and Clarence Darrow came in from Chicago to help defend Scopes.
The monkey trial.
The monkey trial. 99 years ago this week.
Hey, hey, with the monkeys.
They didn't sing that. And Davy Jones was not there, or Michael Nesmith, Mickey Dolenz,
or Peter singing about evolution.
Neither were there.
Put anybody down.
Dayton, Tennessee was the scene of all of this, and they have sunny skies today, but it is going to be hot. It's 85 there already. They're going up to 95.
I thought you were going to say, and we have audio from that trial since we broadcast it.
I wish we did.
Yeah.
I wish we did.
Well, that's where I thought you were going to play like the Three Stooges in court.
Oh, yeah.
Take off your right hand. Take off your hand.
Raise your right
put
hand.
Put your right hand here.
And put your left hand here. He's asking you if you'll swear. No, but I know all the words.
Is that it?
Here we go.
That's it.
Is that it? I don't want to stop you. Mid-stooge.
That's pretty much it.
Okay, the Weekend Health with Dr. Silver is next. And time now for the Weekend Health. Dr. Jeremy Silver returns, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, are you at the airport right now?
I am indeed. I hope the background noise isn't too overwhelming.
Oh, it makes it sound exciting in the background. He literally just hopped off of a plane, ran to a phone so he could do the segment with us. We're glad that you did. Obviously, the top story that we're covering today is the assassination attempt on former President Trump. Now, I know we're not going to talk about the specifics of what happened with the president, That has not been released yet, but I can imagine that you must have seen similar kinds of cases in your emergency room where someone was shot, maybe grazed. Is it possible to speculate on what may have happened here? We definitely saw blood on the side of the former president's face. Pretending like we know what happened with the president, what's your best guess as an emergency room physician?
Well, first of all, scary event and scary times to be living in when that sort of violence enters the political scene. So that, I think on a psychological level, that we just give respect to the psychological trauma that can cause everybody, people that were there or watching on TV, and how do you explain this to your kids, and what does it mean? But taking a step beyond that and just looking at it from a purely objective standpoint, you know, it looked like when I was watching the video that he was struck by something in the ear, some sort of projectile. You know, he reaches up to his ear, looks at his hand, and then the next thing you know, he's on the ground, and then rises up, and there's kind of blood streaming from the area. And so you think it was either part of a bullet or maybe the bullet struck something and the projectile then ricocheted and struck him. So that was my initial impression, that whether it was a bullet or whether it was a projectile of some other form, some object struck him in the ear.
Yeah, he was treated at a medical facility in Pennsylvania and then hopped on a plane and went back home. So apparently he's doing fine. These kinds of incidents, I suppose, you can say are fairly minor injuries. You never want to hear that anyone was shot at. But it sounds like he treated, released, doing okay.
Well, they can be minor, although some of the more serious injuries I've seen related to apparently minor gunshot wounds can be life-threatening. You know, there's a lot of high-value real estate up there above the shoulders. And so whether it's, a damage to the cartilage of the ear and then potentially a cosmetic issue related to scarring and disfigurement, or a hearing issue related to the structures of the ear being damaged, or possibly damage to other local structures from multiple small projectiles. You've got your carotid arteries up there in the neck, and of course your skull and the brain within defines all of us. So it's certainly a scary area, and you'd want to have a very thorough physical exam before you determine that the person was or was not out of harm's way.
Yeah, and we presume that he did have that. Or they wouldn't have released him to go back home, I suppose. My heart breaks for the person that was sitting in the stands who was shot and killed. The bullet whizzed by, and they're speculating right now that the bullet whizzed by and got somebody in the head, and they died, and another person is in critical condition. Those are, things that, breaks my heart this morning. The people, going to a rally, regardless of your political feelings on this, these people just thought they were going to go to a rally, never thinking I might get shot in the head tonight if I'm sitting there. So we'll keep everybody posted on all of that. So all I'm hearing this week, Doctor, is COVID is back, that it's certainly not as fatal as it was when first came out 3-4 years ago. But people are, getting COVID. It seems to be having a little rebound right now. Would you say that's correct?
100%. I would say that there's a new variant in town, and we've got this FLIRT acronym, which just describes the type of variant it is, and we're seeing an uptick in cases, but it doesn't appear to be any more severe than other variants, and in fact, maybe less severe just based on the amount of wastewater contaminant we're seeing in the terms of the virus. relative to the number of cases or severe cases that are being admitted to the hospital. So definitely out there, you know, something to be cognizant of as you're moving about.
Yeah, there was a time when I could tell you precisely when I had my last vaccination. I'll be completely honest. I don't even really remember when I had my last vaccination right now. But is it a good idea to get caught up with all that right now, or is it much to do about nothing?
Dean, I think, you know, at your sprightly age, you could certainly give it consideration. You know, there was a vaccine released, or a booster released, this past fall, which is still available, and they believe still effective against current variants that are about. And that supposedly a new vaccine will be coming out this fall, which will be more targeted towards the sort of trend and variation that they're seeing. So I certainly encourage it. And I think there'll be other vaccines to follow down the line very, very shortly.
Are we expecting new variants and new ways to fight them with new vaccinations?
The vaccines that are currently out kind of target the protein capsule around the virus. Is it reasonable to expect that there may be novel ways of approaching it? I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much money is being funneled into this area of research, which is always an issue. But I do know that the vaccines that they have seem to be very effective. But yeah, I think we can expect to see variants kind of on a seasonal basis, and then kind of randomly popping up as well. That seems to be the pattern for this virus. But you know, time will tell.
All right, I'm going to check with my physicians and my pharmacists. I think I've gotten my last few vaccinations at the grocery store. As I like to say, come for the coleslaw, stay for the vaccination. I'm gonna check that out this week, because it's definitely rebounding. The 815 area code texts in a question for Dr. Jeremy Silver from Kishwaukee Hospital. I have heard pluses and minuses about intermittent fasting as a way to lose weight. What's your opinion?
Great question. My first question back to the caller would be, you know, do you have any medical conditions and are you taking medication? That can play a massive role in whether fasting is safe or not. So I'll take the classic example of a diabetic taking insulin. Fasting could be deadly or even life-threatening. So you should really be having this conversation with your doctor. But in general, I think what we're seeing is that intermittent fasting can be good, and there's some research out there to suggest that it may be superior to other types of dieting. And, you know, of course, the sort of kernel of that is that we, as we kind of developed as cavemen and women, had periods of fasting while we were looking for food, and then we'd eat, and then we'd fast again. And so that there's a thought that maybe it fits our primordial pathophysiology. But certainly caloric restriction in any form can be helpful, and fasting is one way to do it that I think can be very effective if done safely and correctly.
Now, I've heard people doing so-called intermittent fasting in different ways, where they don't eat between certain hours of the day. They have one meal, one moderate meal per day. If someone is going to give this try, as Dr. Silver said, check with your own doctor and make sure that it's safe. But if somebody wants to give this a try, what are steps that they might think about taking?
Yeah, so you might do a little research first. And, you know, there are certainly medical journals that deal with this, and you can find various fasting patterns online. I would underscore the importance of consulting with a physician. But you know, the core of it is essentially keeping your meals within a certain period of time, and then fasting at other times when your metabolism tends to be lower, i.e., in the evening and at night. So you basically you have your 8 hours a day where you can pack in all your calories, and the other 16. you're allowing the body to break down all that fat and protein and utilize it. So you get into the theory is that you get into a very mild form of ketosis. That's just a fancy term for breaking down fat in the body, and that's where you get the benefits of the weight loss.
So let's say you start at 6 a.m. And maybe what, go to 6 p.m. something? Does that, I mean, does that sound reasonable?
There's variations. What I've read, I'll tell you specifically what I've read is that 8 and 16 is the most effective if you really want to see a bang for your buck in short order. And of course, anyone who's getting on a diet, you know, they're trying to do this ideally as quickly as possible, but safely. And so the 8-16 is one ratio that I've read about.
What does that mean? What does that mean? I'm not following you with that. With 8 and 16.
So 16 hours of fasting and 8 hours of eating. So you would, if you were going to start at say noon, just to make it simple math. You'd wake up. You would just have some water, maybe a broth or tea, without honey or lemon in it. And then at noon, you'd start eating, and you'd finish eating at 8 o'clock, and then you'd stop, and then you wouldn't start again until the following day at noon, just as a for example.
Okay. All right. Everybody, you know, check with your doctors and see how this might work for you personally. The 815 area code, I have a rotator cuff tear. What are my next steps and length for recovery?
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Certainly a common injury where the soft tissues around the shoulder are damaged either quickly or over time. And depending on the degree of the tear, you might just be a person that would benefit from rehab and easy use of the shoulder while you're healing versus, you know, if it's very severe, sometimes you even just go ahead and operate. So number one is I would recommend that person talk to an orthopedic surgeon. Those folks are the experts in these types of injuries. But certainly you're looking at the 8 to 12 week range, I would think, depending on how severe the injury might be.
Okay. Do they put it in a cast? Should there be limited mobility on that particular arm?
Again, Dean, it depends on how severe it is. You know, if it was sort of a, you know, I was working on the house yesterday and I had this horrible sensation in my shoulder as I was slipping down the ladder and trying to hang on. That sort of scenario might benefit from some rest and a sling versus, you know, my shoulder's been steadily bothering me for months. I finally got an MRI and there's a tear there. Well, then I think, you know, continuing to use the shoulder in limited fashion, not lifting anything over 5 pounds, and of course consulting with the ortho specialist would be the way to go.
Okay, very good. Dr. Jeremy Silver, medical director, emergency medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital, with this new segment that we'll call "Where Will He Be Next Week?" appreciate you joining us from the airport today. Thank you. All right. Yeah, cell phone service sounded great as always. Thank you, Dr. Silver. We appreciate you joining us, and we will be right back and get updated on all the latest news, including our top story of the shooting assassination attempt on President Trump. I'm glad you got to that story about the death of Shannon Doherty. A big shock.
Yeah, at the age of 53.
Yeah, she'd been diagnosed with breast cancer, I want to say a year ago, maybe a couple of years ago, something. So I presume it was related to something maybe with that.
Yeah.
At such a young age.
Publicist said that she had lost her battle with cancer yesterday.
Oh, okay. So, all right. Yeah. Also yesterday, Richard Simmons.
Yes, 76, away. I think.
Exercise guru. He just turned 76, I think, last Friday, something like that. And Dr. Ruth Westheimer, Remember the
right?
You know, famous sex therapist.
Right.
Therapist.
She was 95, 96 or something.
Lived
like
a
that.
Very, very long life, but you know, three high profile you know, people who you know, with the news of the shooting, everything gets pushed to the side with you know, that going on. But yeah, that's all I've got.
Okay.
Anything else?
Not right now.
Andy, you got anything?
I'm good. No, I'm good.
All right. Well, today we're going on the theory, if you got nothing to say, shut up and just don't repeat it. Don't repeat it over and over and over again.
No. So you're shutting up now. Is that it? No, you're not going to say anything.
Well, I'm trying to find, you know, like a point to go out on. There doesn't seem to be one. How about something like this? 10:11, Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Dave Schwann in our WGN newsroom, keeping an eye on the latest. New information coming out on the assassination attempt yesterday of former President Donald Trump. Didn't it remind you, Shawnee? I mean, those of a certain age, and when I say that, I mean us old people. We remember other assassinations, some successful, some not, that took place that we witnessed on television.
Absolutely.
Much like we
absolutely
saw this in great detail being replayed over and over and over and over ad nauseum yesterday. But it reminded me of the JFK assassination. Ironically, it reminded me of the Bobby Kennedy assassination, who was also running for president. He was also a presidential candidate. And was shot at a hotel while giving an acceptance speech, shot and killed while giving an acceptance speech.
Just after the speech.
Yeah, just after the speech. It's on. It's the famous words. I remember it.
On to Chicago.
On to Chicago and let's win there. Boom. And the guns went off. Ironically, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Responding in a rather measured way. I don't know what I was expecting from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., but if anybody, you know, knows about violence in someone's family, if anyone knows about assassination, it would be a member of the Kennedy family. And he, in particular, losing his father to a political assassination. But he had a rather measured response. And the kind of response that, you know, most people are saying that there's no room for violence in a democracy, that there just is no room for something like this. So, you know, I'm finding the reaction very, very, very interesting. Gabby Giffords, who herself was shot. I don't think she was campaigning. Was she campaigning, Gabby Giffords, when she was shot?
She was at an appearance at a mall.
Yeah.
She was at you could say maybe a campaign, but she was just making an appearance as a congressional representative at a local shopping mall when that shooting happened.
Yeah, and she was shot and left, you know, very disabled.
Permanently injured because of a brain injury, yes.
She tweeted last night, "Political violence is terrifying, I know." She said, "I'm holding former President Trump and all those affected by today's indefensible act of violence in my heart. Political violence is un-American and never acceptable, never." I mean, that's what just about everybody is... you know, the reaction. Some of the reaction is much more, you know, playing the blame game. And I've seen it on both sides. I just happen to have a quote in front of me from Marjorie Taylor Greene, who said, "The Democrats and the media are to blame for every drop of blood spilled today. For years and years, they've demonized him and his supporters. Today, someone finally tried to take the leader of our America First take out the leader of Our America First and greatest president of all time. And then there are others. I know I've got sacks and sacks of reaction here. Others on the other side saying it was the inflammatory rhetoric of the right that caused, you know, this to happen. So, you know, politicizing this doesn't help us out, doesn't calm things down. As I said at the beginning of the show, I would love to hear President Trump, former President Trump, and President Biden issue a joint statement saying, everybody just calm the hell down. Let's cut this out. You know, we can have our disagreements, we can have our policy disagreements, but there's no need for all the inflammatory rhetoric on both sides. That's how we've got to where we are today. We may be hearing from the President Chwani, is that correct?
Later on. We're not quite sure when or how long that may be, but when we get, you know, confirmation of any remarks coming from President Biden, we'll certainly jump in with them. And again, you're mentioning a joint statement perhaps between Biden
wish.
And Trump.
That hasn't been speculated. That's my wish, that the leaders, the people who are in charge, need to say, enough of this, enough. America's gotten too crazy. Everybody needs to calm down.
Yeah. There was another shooting attempt, assassination attempt, that came to mind yesterday, and that was President Reagan, 1981.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I thought of that. I thought of, you know who else I thought of, interestingly? George Wallace.
George Wallace.
His
1971, 72, I think.
Whose rhetoric was also very fiery and also very controversial. And, you know, much like a time we're living in right now, somebody decided to take matters into their own hands and they shot him and paralyzed him for the rest of his life. He spent the rest of his life in a wheelchair as a result of that. Horrible. It's horrible. TMZ, say what you want about, you know, it's a celebrity website, whatever. They do some pretty decent journalism as well. They identified the shooter yesterday, Thomas Matthew Crooks. Is that right, Shawnee?
Right. Thomas Matthew Crooks, 20 years old.
Yes. Fired multiple shots from a building rooftop just outside of the rally venue, and he was killed by Secret Service agents. They're saying like within a minute of when he fired his shots, he himself was shot dead. And then there is a report also on CNN this morning that what's his name, Crooks? Crooks is
Thomas that? Crooks.
Thomas Crooks,
right?
Had explosive materials
in his car,
and in his residence. So we've just begun to scratch the surface of what we know about this guy.
That and the fact that authorities have determined that the gun used was bought by his father.
Yeah, and that brings up all kinds of issues.
Oh yeah,
you know, with. NRA, you know, how some groups react to, you know, guns. And this was an assault weapon, right? This was the kind of assault weapon that a lot of people
that had been used in other incidents like this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the kind of weapon that a lot of people have called for a ban on.
Right.
And others have said, oh, no, we can't, we can't ban an assault weapon. It's just going to be a very interesting time to see how it all plays out, much of which I presume we're going to be hearing play out in Milwaukee, right, this coming week for the Republican
right.
National
Ryan
Convention.
Burrow will be with the campaign, and we're rather with the convention throughout the week. I'll be reporting from there. And certainly, given what happened last night, the security around in and around Milwaukee and the convention center there is going to be extraordinary.
It's going to be just unbelievable. And what it also means to the Democratic convention.
Yes.
That will be here in Chicago.
A little over a month from now.
Right. In August, where there was already set to be unprecedented security because of protests and things like that. You got to think that now, with this, If you thought that there was going to be unprecedented security before, oh man, you haven't seen unprecedented security than what we're going to see in Chicago next month, right?
Yeah, and you know, to this day, what happened in 1968 still comes to mind for a lot of people.
Yeah, it does for me too.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it all from Grant Park. You know what I like to do when I get to feeling all stressed out like this?
Have a nice cold beverage.
I enjoy a nice sip of an ice cold beverage.
Which Here we
is,
go.
Which is what I'm going to do right now. Mm.
You can't sip any louder than that?
I can't. But
I didn't hear the real slurp.
I'm not a horse. What do you want?
Okay. Now, there you go. There you go.
That takes the whole refreshingness out of the whole thing.
Turned refreshing into annoying.
Yeah. Plus, I think it went up my nasal. Also, you were out on the lake yesterday, is that correct?
Yes, I was.
On purpose?
Very much on purpose, oh, yes. Covering the 115th run of the Chicago to Mackinac race. It was hot out there, but, you know, no rough weather. That came later. We got reports this morning.
Yeah, it was raining like crazy.
In fact, there were three boats as they moved further north into Lake Michigan and along Wisconsin when those storms moved through last night. Three boats had severe damage to their mast systems and have had to pull over and get repairs. And then a report of a man overboard who fortunately was recovered. So yeah. No injuries there. But those storms did prove to be, damage causing. And not sure if the storms were directly related to the person going overboard yet. But again, that person was recovered. They're okay.
Everything's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you do when you're on? This is your friend's boat, right?
Well, it's the media boat is what it is.
It's the media boat.
It's a media boat that our good people have been able to provide for us from the Chicago Yacht Club. Laura Muma, public relations, she specializes in events like this.
Right.
And provides excellent opportunities to interview captains and the head of the race committee and things like that.
Professor and Marianne.
The Howells were not on board yesterday, though. Thurston and Lovey were not there.
A movie star.
Didn't see a movie star either. But there were 250-some boats involved.
How many journalists would you say were on this media boat?
A half a dozen. And there were a couple other media boats, too, that were involved, the photographers and people like that. And you get people that come in from out of town because they report on sporting magazines and sailing magazines.
This is a big deal.
It's a world-known race. It's the largest freshwater race in the world.
Now, do you spend most of your time during this thing eating the free food that they provide?
Some, not most. Taking pictures and I'm taking notes.
Were the turkey sandwiches better than the...
We had roast beef and lobster roll yesterday.
Holy smokes. Mm-hmm. What the heck?
Highfalutin on the high seas.
We had roast beef and lobster roll.
Did you take any home?
No.
I see you showing up with Tupperware.
No, I didn't take any home.
Do you guys have any more lobster rolls?
It was delicious food, though.
I'll bet.
Lobster roll, cookies, fresh fruit. It was very good.
Nice. So then you cover you go to Mackinac.
Well, I didn't go all the way up to the island. They're still way, away from it. Although some of the racers will be there later today, I would imagine.
Oh, so you just covered...
I'm covering the start, watching everybody leave the starting post, which is around
Monroe
Harbor.
It's like a couple hours, something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 3 hours we're out there.
And you eat your fill, you fill up your Tupperware, and then you come back?
And I come back, I filed stories, and I've got more reports. Did some good interviews yesterday, so I'll be putting those together also.
All right. You just keep trying to justify it. That's fine with me.
What, getting the free food?
Yes.
You know, you can come out, too. You can be there. Andy, you as much as you love boats.
Oh, well, yeah. Love boats. Love me some boats.
I don't see Andy.
I'm not a mariner.
As the most nautical person in the world.
Andy's
getting seasick of it, just us talking about this.
Right, right.
Was a little bit choppy out there yesterday, but not too bad.
I'm sure it was very nice. I'm sure you've got photos. You're posting photos. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. I'll be posting those later. In fact, I'm going to send them to Dave Marzullo here, who does our web page. And I even will post some video there. It's a beautiful, as the boats, you know, leave the starting post and move through the skyline. I'll tell you that what we have here, when you watch those boats in our skyline on a nice morning, that is a tough, tough thing to beat.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It's beautiful.
Pretty gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I would post some pictures of what I did yesterday morning, but pictures of me taking a nap are not really,
No, I don't think so.
Not really all that exciting, I've been told.
You've been told that?
I've been told to stop posting
pictures of me. As if you don't know that yourself?
People have asked me to please stop posting pictures of me drooling taking a nap. So, this is a rather unprecedented morning with the news events of yesterday. The assassination attempt on former President Trump. So, Shawnee, if anything should break, you break right in and let us know, please.
We will.
We're going to. We have a couple of things planned here that I would like to. As I said, I just don't see any point in repeating the same things over and over and over and over over and over again. You know, if there's something new, we'll certainly let you know. But so I'm going to try to do a somewhat. Regular kind of Sunday morning show, and that includes our Week in Theater segment. And we've got the cast of the Drury Lane's new musical, Ain't Misbehavin', who are going to perform for us in just a couple of minutes. So we'll get into that. Also this morning, we've got a special giveaway for the Illinois Office of Tourism, first 100 miles of Route 66 Heritage Corridor destinations. They, along with WGN, giving away chances to win daily on-air prizes. And we've got something special for you today, a $100 gift card for Del Ria's Chicken Basket in Willowbrook, serving their famous fried chicken and homemade food for 77 years on Route 66, and also a $100 ExxonMobil gift card to fuel your adventures for the first 100 miles of Route 66. All of this brought to you by the Illinois Office of Tourism, the first 100 miles of Route 66, fueled by Heritage Corridor destinations. Visit WGNradio.com/contest for your chance to win the ultimate Route 66 prize pack valued at over $1,700. And let's give away these gift cards now to caller 6 on our contest line, which is 312-981-7200. Caller 6, you are going to be our winner. Time for the Week in Theater segment. And this week, we have a special in-studio performance for you. And, boy, we had a special treat during the break, during the commercials. You know, we had the 1-800 Cars for Kids commercial that was playing. And spontaneously, our next group of guests broke into the 1-800 Cars for Kids commercial. And boy, I hate for that to be something that only I can enjoy. Really, I think everybody, are you ready? 1-877 Cars for Kids.
1-877 Cars for Kids. 1-877 Cars for Kids. Donate your car today.
All right, you know the word.
I got into the phone number and realized I wasn't 100% sure about the words to it all. This is the cast of Ain't Misbehavin', which has just opened out at the Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook Terrace, the Fats Waller musical show. And I'm just going to go across the room here so everybody can introduce themselves and tell us what you play so we can get into this. And we're going to have a live performance also. You really were the ringleader for the 1-877 Cars for Kids.
From my youth.
James, this I know it's embedded in all of our heads, right? Exactly. James Lane, right?
Yep, James T. Lane from Philadelphia. Yep.
And do you, in the show, play?
Well, we all represent ourselves in this show, and you know, in the style. It's a cast full of triple threats. So I play James T. Lane in the show.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good.
And good morning. Good Alexis J. Rostin, playing myself.
Playing yourself in the show. Everybody's playing themselves in the show here.
Hello, I am Charisse Hamilton. And we're going to keep with it. I'm playing Charisse Hamilton.
Hamilton.
I do it. I really do.
I'm sensing a pattern.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm no investigative journalist, but I'm starting to see a pattern developing.
I'm Alana Lovely.
Alana Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
What a lovely name, though.
Thank you very much.
It's a very, very lovely name. And Lorenzo Rush Jr.
That is correct, sir.
Well, listen to that voice.
Oh, here we go. Thank you so much, Mr. Richards.
Look at that.
Yes, I am portraying myself as well. I guess everybody thinks that when they see me that I'm the physical representation of Fats because I'm probably the weightiest one of all of us. So
you're taller.
tall and the heaviest one. So that's probably what it is. There he is. There's Fats.
Yeah, that's a visual thing that I would have never thought of bringing up.
Well, you know, we're on the radio. I got to give him something to give him a picture. Paint a picture.
Theater of the mind. Exactly. Now, I got to mention that this show is directed by my longtime pal, E. Faye Butler.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Who back in the day would have been here with you all.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. She's on vacation.
She's on vacation?
Yeah.
Is that what she told you? When Dean brings this up, tell him that I'm on vacation. Because I've known her for years, and she is one of my favorite people. And I got to say, I thought she might come by with all of you here today. But I see now that she's a big-time director, you know, she's too big for that. I am, quote, on vacation. I get it. So let's see here. Alana, why don't you tell us a little about Ain't Misbehaving and what it's all about?
Well, Ain't Misbehaving is a show for me. The show is a representation of everyone else being able to show their talents in the best ways possible, giving everybody a taste of what we have to offer by way of Fat Waller's music.
And what does Fat Waller's music, James, what does that mean to you?
Well,
when you think of the music of Fats Waller?
Oh, goodness. Good times, uptown, Harlem, 1920s and 30s. He wrote songs that were very popular and that he sold for, what was it, Charisse? What is it? What did he sell them for? The money.
Oh, it was like $50. Well, that was
It $50?
Land, so.
He would go to the Brill.
For nothing. Basically, for nothing, yeah.
Yeah, for nothing. And then he'd go to one place and sell them, and then he'd go to another place and sell the same song for that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, he had to make some money.
Too.
Yeah. And, you know, that music is of a time where the world was changing, black excellence was happening. We think of it as the Harlem Renaissance, but it was really, they were just living day to day. You know, we think of it as the Harlem Renaissance, but the joint was jumping up in Harlem.
Yeah, is there something special about performing these songs when you get up on that stage and just, you know, when the joint starts jumping? I mean, is there a special feeling for the performers who are up there?
Yeah, because one, we look amazing.
Yes.
And so, you know, when you look good, you feel good.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then this music is so intricate, and I think we sometimes want to pat ourselves on the back for how hard it was to learn this music, but when we hear it, the sound is like rich and full bodied. I enjoy being on the stage with every person you are looking at. When we first got the cast announcements, we were like, absolutely, this is it. This is a dream team. So I'm grateful just to be on the stage with these people. But this music, it gets in your soul. You sing it all day, even when you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very infectious. And it's timeless, you know, thinking about when this was originally done and we're in 2024, you know. So it's very timeless music. It's pulling generations together because everybody's enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That often amazes me when I hear music from that long ago. I was watching a movie clip from the movie Nosferatu, which was one of the first horror movies of all time that's currently being remade right now.
Of course.
But I went back and found the clip from when this movie was first made 102 years ago.
Wow.
And it was still scary and still, I mean, yeah. you know, like it was still effective. And yeah. it just, it like dawns on me, like some things are, you hear people say that things are timeless and it's almost like a cliche, but some things are really timeless and maybe even more powerful when you hear them all these years later. Lorenzo, is that the case for you?
Absolutely. When I'm on stage and I'm singing this music and listening to it, I just get taken up in it. It's just, it goes back. It's a time capsule of a period of time where Black excellence was really at its peak, and you can really see that, and it's showcased in the show. And the music itself, Fest, was really about just having a good time. That's what his whole life encumbered, is just wanting to have fun, wanting to be the life of the party, and just really living every day like it's your last. And you can tell in the music and it's in the writing of that as well. And that happens on stage. I find myself forgetting that I'm on stage and I'm just, I'm messing around with four of some of my good friends. And so, and I'm, oh yeah, we're on stage. Sorry, we're performing. But yeah, yeah, it and I love to see when the audience gets that, and it's like it's like an hour and a half or 2 hours of just genuine having a good time, where, you know, it's all different types of theater, but this one, when you come to see this, it's you're here to have a good time. There's a bar in the theater, you can have drinks, you can eat, you can have a good time. And that's when you come see the show, that's the expectation that you should set for yourself, is to have a good time, just like get away from the outside world, because that's really what it was when you go into like rent parties back in those days, and those different the Savoy Ballroom and the Rum Boogie Club here in Chicago and things like that. When you went into those clubs, you left all of that outside to go inside and say, you know what, for these few hours that I'm in here, I'm going to drink, I'm going to eat, I'm going to laugh, I'm going to play, I'm going to have a good time, I'm going to misbehave a little bit. No. And then, you know, to give me the energy to go back outside. So I'm having a ball.
Yeah, and you know, maybe set against what's going on out in the real world.
Absolutely.
Right now, especially after yesterday.
I'm just saying. It's
that you want to go someplace for some kind of escape.
Yes.
From all the craziness that's going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
What's it like to perform it at the Drury Lane in Oak Brook Terrace? That's such a great venue because it's majestic enough, but it's also intimate enough to bring the audience into the show, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, Kyle DeSantis does a great job at creating the atmosphere. You know, you can get a bite to eat before you go in to see the show. But the wonderful way that this particular show is designed is that it's not just on the stage. It is the whole auditorium that has been transformed into these kind of speakeasies, Rum Boogie Room kind of places. You know, we bring the lights up and we talk to the audience. So there's no fourth wall. We're all having a good time. Yeah. We're all misbehaving, you know.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So we're having a good time.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Ain't Misbehaving. It's at the Drury Lane in Oak Brook Terrace until August the 18th. I'll give you ticket info on all of that coming up in just a couple of minutes. And after a quick break, the group will perform a couple of songs live for you here this morning on 720 WGN. All right, it is 10:50, and this is Dean Richard, Sunday morning on WGN. Dave Schwann is in our WGN newsroom, keeping an eye on any updates out of Pennsylvania, out of New York, where former President Trump has returned earlier this morning. Schwani, anything going on right now that we should know about, or know that we may be hearing from the president, from President Biden, a little later on this morning, but anything going on before the next scheduled newscast?
Not at this time. We are awaiting word that the president is likely to speak here. He cut short his time for the weekend in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, where he has a house, and went back to Washington. So we are waiting a word as to when he will be speaking, and when he does, we'll bring it to you.
All right, very good. We'll stand by for that. In the meantime, We'll roll on with some of our regular features here this morning, including our Week in Theater segment. And what a treat to have the cast of Ain't Misbehavin', the Fats Waller musical show that is at the Drury Lane until August the 18th, directed by our longtime pal E. Faye Butler, an amazing performer. Now directing. She is directing this project. One of these times, if you guys want me to just bore you to tears, I'll tell you the story of the first time that I saw E. Faye Butler performing and how obsessed I still am with her. She was doing the Dinah Washington show, I think, at the North Shore Center for Performing Arts in Skokie. I think that's where it was. But I was always just so blown away by that, and have gotten to know her over the years, and she's just a sweetheart. I hope that's the case for all of you. Is it, or is she, you know, like wonderful. Cecil B. DeMille? And
she's like family. She's family. Yeah. She's
sweetheart, and you better do your job.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yes. All right.
It's all of that.
Yeah. That's everything I would expect. Yeah. All right. Well, I want to get a couple of songs in here before we run out of time. And the title track of the show, the title song, Ain't Misbehavin', you guys all set to bring us that?
Sure. Yeah.
Here this morning. So here they are from the Drury Lane's production of Ain't Misbehavin', the Fats Waller musical. This is Ain't Misbehavin'. Oh, that is so great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So beautiful. The cast of Ain't Misbehavin', the Fats Waller musical, out at the Drury Lane in Oak Brook Terrace. It'll be there until August the 18th. You can get tickets by phone, 630-530-0111, or online at drurylanetheater.com, and that's theater with an R-E. At the end of it all. Thank you all so much for coming in. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
You.
Sounded great. Give our love to E. Faye.
Will do.
And we'll get a quick news update from the Northwestern Medical Newsroom coming up next. So how about that cast of Ain't Misbehavin'?
Wow, yeah.
They sound great.
I haven't heard that song in a long time, Ain't Misbehavin', from Fats Waller. Saving my love for you.
Maybe they'll let us fill in if somebody's sick.
Be understudies.
I think the Cars for Kids folks may have a new jingle on their hands.
That's so funny. When the commercial came
on. A doo-wop version of...
I like that better.
How ingrained that commercial is. The commercial came on while they were setting up, and spontaneously, these five amazing performers start breaking into the song.
Oh, that's great.
It was great. Well, we have to thank our engineer extraordinaire here on Sunday morning, Bob Ferguson, because he set up the whole, he's got a whole setup here for these guys.
Yeah, we just call that Sunday for Fergie. He's that good.
No.
He was hard at work very early this morning.
Yeah. What was he doing?
He was setting up for your performance today, editing the material and getting mics ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a lot of tape. I don't know what's involved in it. He uses a lot of colored tape.
Color-coded tape.
He had colored tape on stuff. It's like, I don't know what it is, but it must be important because there's colored tape all over stuff this morning.
Okay, this was adhesive tape, not tape like Scotch or Memorex or Ampex.
Not recording tape. No, this was what do you call it? Like duct tape, sort of.
Yeah.
Like colored duct tape.
What, did you use Ampex tape, Dean, when you were a DJ or, the Memorex version? Is it live or is it Memorex? Good old Scotch 111?
Don't you have some important news things that you should be...
We do, but you brought up tape, and that's just kind of where my mind went, that's all.
Yeah. Whatever you said, yes, I did.
Okay.
I didn't even understand. In these crazy times, the Moody Blues kind of capturing the way that I feel, for sure, since I heard the news of the shooting yesterday. And I think a lot of other people, have just you know, kind of echoing that same thing. What kind of crazy times are we living in when, you know, this can happen again? A 20-year-old kid with an assault rifle, a weapon which has been the subject of so much controversy and so much death, so much, you know, heartache over the years, now being used on a former president. Did you see the picture of this kid, this 20-year-old kid? It was released online.
I saw a picture from his high school commencement, dressed in, you know, graduation cap and gown. Yeah.
Now, the picture that I saw online is just a close-up of his face. It's he looks like he's 12 years old in this picture.
Well, he was very young. He was 20 years old. He graduated high school in just 2 years ago.
Yeah. With an assault weapon, I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if there's the usual kind of outcry when something like this happens, when an assault weapon is used to attempt the life of a former president, but also kill one of his supporters who just happened to be sitting at the wrong place at the wrong time and took a bullet in the head. Am I correct?
You are correct. And two others are in critical condition. We're now getting word that the president is being briefed in the Situation Room in the White House. So I would imagine that after that briefing is concluded, he will come out and speak. We've been waiting. You know, we've been told that he would be making remarks again today at some point. So The briefing is underway now, and when that's concluded, we'll see, you know, when he appears in the White House.
All right. Well, whenever that happens, let us know, and we'll break in and bring that to you. As I said, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the kind of reaction, because normally when somebody is killed with an assault rifle, you know, there's all kinds of outcry against all that sort of thing. But it's like almost like the tables are turned upside down this time. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of reaction there is going to be. I guess I'm heartened that almost, I want to say like 90% of the reaction online for this has been, there is no room for this sort of thing in our democracy. There's no room for this. It's not right. Yet there are the finger pointers that are out there in the most flagrant sort of way, saying this wouldn't have happened except for them. They caused this. Both sides are pointing the finger. It's their inflammatory rhetoric. It's his inflammatory rhetoric. It's the name calling. It's you know, and everybody is participating in it. So is there any shock, really, that something like this took place? And especially, you know, if you talk to psychologists, that somebody who is impressionable for whatever the reason, we just don't know yet, because, well, I guess we'll probably never know about this 20-year-old kid who is apparently shot instantly, right? A sniper took him out just as he...
Counter-sniper teams were involved and immediately pinpointed where the shots came from that hit the stand, and
took him out.
They took him out, yeah.
So, you know, we'll probably, you know, I don't know if we'll ever know really the reason that this took place. We know that his father bought the assault rifle, right?
Yes.
That we know.
6 months ago.
We know that there were explosives in his car and in his apartment. Is that what I read?
In the car. In a car. And the neighborhood there where he was living has now been sealed, as it, you would expect that, of course. And federal authorities investigating his residence and the nearby area there.
Yeah.
Maybe they will find... In cases like this, as they, you know, progress in their investigation, they find written manifestos or written comments or in various websites that they've been involved with.
Check computers.
Yeah, which would establish a pattern as to what led up to this.
I've said it earlier on the show. I'll say it again. I would love if, instead of all this finger pointing that's going on, does us absolutely no good, that the two opposite sides come together and say, you know what? We've all had enough of this. Enough of this now. And let's just turn the volume down. Let's turn it down and have our political discussions, our political differences, and let's see if we can do it without the vitriol that is so filled in our political world now. Is that too much to ask, Schwani?
No. You know, I was thinking of a Lyndon Johnson quote. Let us reason together.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking about? I mean, you and I are of an age where we recall way too many of these kinds of things, right?
Oh, yeah.
We will remember where we were the night that somebody tried to shoot Trump. We'll remember that.
Yes.
As we remember, you know, some people will remember JFK.
Everything else in the last 60 years, yes.
I will remember like it's yesterday when Robert Kennedy was killed, because I was a big supporter and fan of his, the original Robert Kennedy. You know, I remember I was buying tires when President Reagan was shot. I remember I was at the counter of the tire store paying, and they had the TV set on in the background. I'm like, what is going on? And, you know, President Reagan had been shot and almost killed.
Yeah. I was in the newsroom, my first job in radio, when that happened. And don't forget, it was just within a couple months' time that Pope John Paul was shot.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. In 1981.
I remember way too many of these things. Do you remember the song What the World Needs Now? Not the Jackie DeShannon song itself, but the version that was done by, I think he was a radio DJ named Tom Clay.
Yes.
Where he interspersed new clips of assassinations, really.
There was the radio account of what was going on in the motorcade in Dallas was included in that. And an adult person asking a child, what does prejudice mean? Yeah. What does violence mean?
Doesn't it feel like we're kind of living, even though that was like over 50 years ago, that we're reliving that horror? Have we learned nothing in all these years, really? It seems just amazing to me. And the words and the feeling and the sentiment of this sadly still ring true. Yeah, that's from 1971. Tom Clay took the Jackie DeShannon song, What the World Needs Now is Love, and interspersed it with news clips of the assassinations of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, set in a time of the Vietnam War, of racial strife all over America, and the hatred that was going on in the world at that time. How many things have not changed, and how much we have not learned in all of that time is amazing to me. Although circumstances are different, you know, now we're facing another assassination attempt in which inflammatory rhetoric on both sides being, you know, shot at each other like fireballs. And there's no such thing as, you know, political discussions. Everything is complete hatred such vitriolic attacks on one another that something like this can happen. What kind of world are we living in? And if everybody is not calling for, you know, peace, and if everyone is not calling for a world in which we can have our political differences but not solve them with political violence, they are not doing a service to anybody, because that's really what's called for. In my opinion, that's what's called for right now. Just my opinion.
Hearing that is every bit as engaging and gripping as it was over 50 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I swear to God, I get a little teary during that, thinking of how that desperate feeling that we had back then, that what is going on, you know. You and I were teenagers, right?
Yes.
Yeah. During all of that, thinking, what kind of world are we being handed? And, you know, take a look around, folks.
What we're being handed and what we are handing on.
Yeah. Take a look around at this world that we're living in right now. And what is that what you want to hand to your children and to your grandchildren? Same kind of crap? Come on. You know what I need, Chwani?
Another refreshing...
cool, refreshing drink.
Cool beverage.
The world is crumbling around us, and I'm just filling myself with liquids. There's something wrong about it. Right, and if that should happen, we'll break into, you know, whatever it is that we're doing. We're going to, you know, kind of continue with our regular things here, anything should happen, you just break right in, please.
We will. We're also monitoring comments from Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, who just concluded a briefing. We will have those for you here as soon as possible.
All right. That sounds good. We're going to be able to get anything done today in and out of this rain?
Well, you mean outside?
Yeah, because it kind of looks like it's getting okay outside now.
It's, well, it is clearing off, but we could see some storms later. But keep in mind, the temperatures are going to be in the mid-90s, and heat index levels up to 100, 105. Mm. I don't know how much you'd want to get outside, get done outside today.
I'd be wearing my Daisy Dukes. I'm warning my neighbors right now. Don't look if you don't want to see something... You can't unsee.
That picture and the one of you sleeping, that would be drooling.
Yeah. my napping, drooling picture. Both could happen today. Both are very likely to happen today. Because last night I went to the St. Spiridon Greek Orthodox Church Greek Fest, 123rd and South Ridgeland Avenue in Palos Heights. Music, food, fun, you know, all kinds of fun things.
What was your favorite food?
Let's see. I had like a pork souvlaki, which is almost like a pork shish kebab sort of. I had that. I had one of the most fantastic Greek salads that I've ever had. I had a spinach pie. I had some sweets, some delicious. Lokomathis is my favorite.
Any baklava?
I didn't have that because at these festivals, it's almost the only place you can get these things called lokomathis, which are... it's fried dough that they dip in honey and then sprinkle nuts on top.
Not a lot of sugar there.
Oh, that's so good.
But I'll bet it is, yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. It's going on again today, by the way. It starts right after when church is done at around noon. The festival will pick up again. So if you're in the south suburbs, get on over there. Lake County, they're doing another big Greek festa. Up that way now. I have all the Greek churches saying, well, you mentioned them, why don't you mention us? Yeah, so I think that's Libertyville. The one in Lake County, I believe, is in Libertyville, so that's going on today. So a lot of baklava for everyone going on today. Other day, I was hanging out with the group Chicago. You remember them, Shwani?
Well, of course.
Yeah, they had so many great hits. They were at the Shriners Children's Hospital passing out toys on Friday night. They did a concert with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Chicago and Earth, Wind, and Fire. How about that?
A friend of mine went to see a concert just like that a few years ago and said it was amazing.
Yeah.
Earth, Wind, and Fire in Chicago.
How about
unbeatable combination.
Oh my gosh, all those horns. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. We talked with the guys, the three originals from the group. We're going to share that with you coming up next. Stick around. What have I been saying about these guys all these years? The group, so good. They named a city after them. Chicago. Originally started off as Chicago Transit Authority. Through the years, they had were forced to make changes. And they are one of the most popular rock and roll bands of all time, no question. Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. Tons of number one songs, 100 million albums sold, with classic songs like this one, Only the Beginning. The list goes on and on of their great songs through the years. It's been my pleasure to not only feature their music on different shows that I've done on radio and television through the years, but also to become friends with these guys over the years as well. The first time that I met the group Chicago was 1979. And I was just a little baby DJ on WFYR. And Chicago Fest was going on. Remember Chicago Fest? This was even before there was Taste of Chicago. They used to have, they would take over Navy Pier before Navy Pier was all remodeled. Really, Navy Pier was kind of a dump, if you remember.
There was nothing going on there.
There was nothing at Navy Pier back then, except they would put these stages out along the length of the pier, and different bands would perform. And they had music playing all day long. And of course, they served food. And but they would have like one huge major act per day playing at Chicago for us. Sinatra played Chicago Fest back then. They did Bozo Circus live at Chicago Fest back in the day. And one of the concerts that was featured, it was a big deal concert, 1979, was the group Chicago. And the station that I worked for then, WFYR, Fire Radio, we were sponsoring the concert, and we were broadcasting the concert live. And as a little baby DJ, I was assigned to go, you know, like to host the live broadcast, but also to go out on stage and introduce them.
I would have been a nervous wreck.
I was a nervous wreck. Complete dopey nervous wreck in my stupid leisure suit. I got all dressed up, you know, because I thought, oh, this is a big deal concert that I'm hosting. And these guys, you know, the guys from the band are just goofing around backstage. They're so relaxed, ready to go. I'm trying to interview them backstage. They're giving me nothing but a hard time.
Of course they are.
I was like the latest turnip to fall off the truck. Hi, guys. I'm Dean Richards from WFYR. And ladies and gentlemen, here in Chicago. That's basically how it went. He's probably recording of it someplace. But, you know, I've had a wonderful association and friendship with these guys every time they're in town. We get to hang out and see their shows, and it's just been great. And this past Friday night, they were playing at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont. They did a show with Earth, Wind, and Fire, where I forget which band comes out first, but one band comes out and they do their set, and then the next band comes out and they do their set, and then all of the members of these two enormous groups are on stage together, performing together with all those great vocalists and all those horns. And it's an amazing, amazing thing to see. Before the concert, they went over to the Shriners Children's Hospital on the northwest side of Chicago, and they passed out 500 of these little craft kits for the kids who are being treated at the hospital. You know, they didn't have to do that. They could have easily just, you know, gone, hung out at a hotel. They wanted to do something nice when they came back home. And they did that. And what a treat for these kids, for the kids' parents, for the doctors and nurses, and all the staff at Shriners. It was just a really, really, really nice afternoon. And we spent a couple of minutes talking with the three original guys left in the band now, Robert Lamb, Jimmy Pankow, and Lee Loughnane, at the Shriners Children's Hospital this past Friday. Robert, talk to me a little bit about what this means to you to be here and passing out, you know, these things, these toys for the kids. It's got to be meaningful.
It's meaningful, and it's a reminder that the world is much larger in many ways and very small in other ways. I'm easily overcome with emotion meeting these kids, and the families.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, I've known you guys for a long time, and you could easily be sitting back in a hotel right now with your feet up. You choose to come out here to meet the kids, to meet the parents. Why is that?
You know, the music says it all, and to be able to give something back is what it's all about. We've been so blessed, and to have an opportunity to spread some of that joy to these wonderful kids who can use it so much is beyond words. You know, we're honored to be here. This is amazing. I actually have a grandson that is challenged from birth, and so I'm plugged into it on a first-hand basis, and this just tugs at my heart, and we're so lucky to be here.
Does this mean something special to you, that it's your hometown, and you especially?
Right.
It's like we're walking distance from the house you grew up in.
Right? I could walk right there right now. It'd be great. I could stop and get a beef sandwich on the way. But, you know, we've been given so much, like Jimmy said, through the years, that it's a blessing for us to be able to give something back. And this is a perfect place to do it.
Yeah. So the Heart and Soul Tour. Have you figured out like how many tours you guys have done over the years?
I'm guess you mean with Earth, Wind and Fire?
Well, you guys.
Well, we've done 50 how many years?
58 years. 57 years.
Yeah,
it's 57 years in February. It'll be 58. It'll be 58 in February.
So,
yeah,
you know, an average of 100 shows a year.
Lots of shows.
Yeah.
As Robert has said before, it's like one continuous tour from the time we started.
Yeah, when you see these shows, you guys with Earth, Wind and Fire especially, it's electric. I mean, there is no slowing down after all these years, right?
You know, it's easy to be blasé, you know, having done it for so long. But, you know, when we step on stage, you know, I get a chill, and I have to pinch myself, really. There are many times when I have to excuse me.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're too
overexcited. And it's like the first night every night, because you have a new crowd each night. And these people have been waiting for the moment that they can share this music with us. And I don't know if there's a person on earth that could walk on that stage and not be totally blown away with thousands of faces lit up, singing the words louder than the band. I mean, my gosh, how can you get sick of
it? It's the first time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The first time.
And
you have multi-generation stuff coming to see you, right?
We do. We do.
And then for us also, there's so many people on stage. One of our main concerns is not running into each other as we move around on the stage.
Just you guys or with you guys?
Yeah, just
and Earth, Wind, and Fire, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
You're all
when we're with EWF, we do a finale. And both bands are on stage together. And you have to do everything you can to not bump into somebody and knock them down. You know, we're trying to make our marks without knocking somebody over. So and we did it. Last night was the first show of this summer tour.
Yeah,
and it went off surprisingly well. Nobody got wounded. You know, as it turns out, both bands are such professionals that when the audience is there and the adrenaline is up, it clicks into we know what to do.
Yeah.
The lights out.
Yeah.
We know what we did.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So we have that to draw upon.
I wonder if there are special moments in a show, Robert, especially for you, because you've written so many of the signature songs. You know, are there songs that like really mean something special to you each time you perform them?
I have to say, yes, there are. You know, I mean, Saturday in the Park, of course, but. I think a song like Beginnings, it talks about my life before the band a little bit. And actually, I can't remember the names of my titles. I've gotten old, and I really can't.
What's that girl's name?
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, I find myself in trouble.
Yeah, many Jimmy, times. How about for you? Special moments?
Well, you know, yeah, our songs are primarily about personal experience, and you know, I wrote a song called I've Been Searching So Long, which is a song about self-discovery.
Great song.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, you're sitting at a piano having this personal moment, and the next thing you know, it becomes a mantra for millions of people. It blows you away. And then there's the ballet for A Girl in Buchanan, which is a multi-movement piece, which I didn't know what I was doing when I wrote it. You know, you just kind of follow your instincts. And we do it still, and it's still hard to play. Yeah. After all these years.
Yeah.
I wrote a song called Call on Me, which was my attempt at...
These are some of the greatest hits of all time. You guys realize, as you're mentioning, you're just dropping song titles. These are some of the greatest songs ever recorded.
Well, the inception of it was my hope to have a friendship beyond our relationship that wasn't working out anymore. Mm. So, and I find out how difficult that is, especially for me. And I've heard from other people that they have good relationships with their ex-lovers and wives.
Yeah.
And I have never been able to do that. I don't know why that is, but it is what it is.
You wow.
You'll find it. You'll get it.
Yeah. Story behind the song. So when you guys pulled up, we were talking, and I said I was trying to remember the first time that I ever interviewed you. And
we were talking like this.
I had hair. That's all I know. But I did remember it while you guys are taking pictures over here. It was August of 1979 at your Chicago Fest concert.
Wow.
Do you remember that show at Navy Pier that you guys did?
Absolutely. I remember being in the dressing room. It was under the tent.
Yeah.
And we were waiting to go on. It was Mass Confusion back there with you know, crew people and everything. And you running around trying to get a hold of us and talk to us and stuff. But how many years ago was that?
My God. 1979, that would make it, what, like 45 years, 44 years?
So that was sort of like herding cats to get us together?
It was difficult to get you guys together for an interview, but I was just so nervous. It was my first time hosting a show.
Oh,
my first time. We broadcast the concert live on WFYR on Fire Radio back then.
Fire.
And I was just so starstruck. Because I was such a big fan, and just to be hanging out with you guys.
Indeed, and here you are all these years later, and we're still pals.
Isn't that crazy?
And
most people don't like me that way.
Yeah. And thanks for being a fan.
Oh, my God.
More than anything.
More than anything, yeah. It's been great times. So what can the fans look for in Rosemont tomorrow night?
Well, for a change in these number of concerts we've played with Earth, Wind & Fire, we decided to change the opening appearance. So last night we started the show.
And then Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yes, and then, Earth, Wind & Fire will start tomorrow night.
Yeah, we alternate. Yeah.
So that's new.
Okay.
But they, you know, they will do a set. There's a short changeover, and we go on, we do a set, and then we all hit that stage together, and the roof blows off.
I will say that it goes by quickly for us.
Yeah.
It just goes, I mean, and it's a long concert.
And both sets are packed with hits from both
bands.
Yeah,
it's hit music all night long.
So our whole career is on the line every night, and then we get together and play six songs in the encore.
That's awesome.
Together.
So I'm telling people, come for the music, stay for the possible collision of performers.
Oh, yes.
I'm next to Verdeen White, and I'm trying to stay out of his way.
Oh, man.
Because he doesn't stand still for a second, and that bass is like this, and I'm trying to protect my trombone. It winds up in the shop once a week.
He's an absolute amazing musician.
Every night is an event.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have fun, and it's great. I mean... It's two groups of people who are not only brothers in music, but old friends, and you can feel the joy, you know? And we're all colorblind. You know, it's a good message for America to see.
Yeah.
We're all getting along, hugging each other, playing our hearts out, and having a wonderful time. And those people are right on stage with us. It's like,
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, there you go. Jimmy Pankow, Lee Loughnane, Robert Lamb, three of the originals from Chicago. Allstate Arena this past Friday night with Earth, Wind, and Fire. Thanks to everyone over at Shriners Children's Hospital for hosting the event at which they gave away 500 toys for the kids who are staying there, and thank them for all the great work that they do to help those kids every single day. Coming up, we'll tell you about Chicago's Burger Fest that is coming up. Tell you what we've got cooking on my Wednesday food segment, Food Time, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show, just a few minutes away. And we will break in the moment that we hear that President Biden is stepping up to a microphone. So we will very definitely cover that for you live this morning and keep you posted on any new developments. The Pennsylvania governor, that was new.
Yes. Yeah, just within the hour, Governor Josh Shapiro identifying the person that was shot and killed at the rally last night as Corey Comparator. He was a firefighter and covered his a family with his body when the shooting began.
Wow.
He took the bullets.
Wow.
For the family.
Wow. That's what these guys are trained to do, right?
Exactly.
Like all these. You know, we haven't really spoken very much about the Secret Service agents this morning, the first responders, the police officials, watching the mechanism when former President Trump was hit, he grabbed his ear, went down to the ground. Those Secret Service agents were just all over the place in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, they are there to cover and shield, as they refer to as the protectee. And in this case, the protectee was the former president.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. Yes. It was astounding to watch them, you know, gather around the president, even though he was, you know, responding to the cheers in the crowd once he got up, you know, and, you know, raised his fist. And but they were in turn trying to shield him and then get him off that platform.
Yeah, he was, a little bit not defiant, really, but he was shouting fight, fight, fight. And I think he's kind of tempered his tone since he's issued some statements now. He's being a little more conciliatory. And saying that, that we all, what have been his statements? I don't want to misquote.
Well, he said that now is the time to
come together.
Support every, be unified and reflect on our true American character.
Yeah, because, at the moment he's had his fist up in the air and was shouting fight, fight, fight.
Yeah, he said, as Americans remain strong and determined and not allowing evil to win.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, the overwhelming response, there's no place for this in our democracy. I have been reading responses all morning. It's been very interesting. Former President Obama saying there is absolutely no place for political violence in our democracy. We must take this moment to recommit ourselves to civility and respect in our politics. President Biden yesterday in his comments, no place for this kind of violence in America. We cannot allow this to happen. Representative James Conyer, Republican from Kentucky, chair of the House Oversight Committee. There are many questions, and Americans demand answers. I've already contacted the Secret Service for a briefing. So he's going to start working on that. Gabby Gifford, who was a congressperson, right, Shwani?
Yes, she was a representative from Arizona.
Said, political violence is terrifying. I know, because she was shot in the head and left with disabilities following that. I'm holding former President Trump and all those affected by today's indefensible act of violence in my heart. Political violence is un-American and is never acceptable. That's almost, you know, almost everybody is reacting exactly like that. But as I say, on both the Democratic and Republican side, there are some that are pointing fingers at the others. For example, excuse me, Marjorie Taylor Greene said that the Democrats and the media are to blame for every drop of blood spilled today. They've demonized Trump and his supporters. And today someone finally tried to take out the leader of our America First and the greatest president of all time. So, you know, she's blaming the Democrats for this. There are Democrats on the other side that are saying it's the inflammatory rhetoric, the inflammatory words of President Trump and others that cause people to react in an inflammatory way. So it's, you know, it's going both sides. Both sides are doing the finger pointing. Thank goodness almost everybody is reacting, saying that there is absolutely no room for political violence in our democracy. So hopefully things will calm down. I, as I've said, excuse me, several times on the show, I hope they, I hope they'll issue a joint statement. Wouldn't that be nice? The to both sides issuing a joint statement saying we need to find a better solution to discuss our political differences. Wouldn't that be nice to set an example for young people in America? So. All right. That's all I got to say.
Is it time for another cool beverage?
It's always time for another cool beverage. It's always. On these hot days, our tempers can get out of control. And we are expecting that we may hear from the president, President Biden, sometime this half hour, correct?
Around 12:30. Of course, as we all know, that is approximate. It could be a little before, it could be a little after.
That's but politician time.
The field, you know, the ballpark time would be 12:30. Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, jump in if you need to, and we'll bring whatever new developments come along. In the meantime, we're going to get to also talk about the annual Burger Fest. Wow, talk about that for a transition. The annual Burger Fest, which is coming up next Saturday on Roscoe Street in Chicago. That is coming up as we continue here this morning. All right. Really unusual Sunday morning, the day after a sadly historic day yesterday, an assassination attempt on a former president of the United States. Regardless of how you feel about Donald Trump, regardless of what side of the aisle that you are on, when someone tries to take someone else's life through an act of political violence, really political terrorism, really is what it is. You know, it's a sad day. And, you know, I've thought about how many times I have sat behind this microphone when things... when things like this break out. I mean, I remember obviously the 9/11, the attack on 9/11. I wasn't on the air that morning, but you know, it went on for weeks and weeks and weeks when we were you know, trying to figure out, you know, do we do regular shows? Do we do continue 9/11 coverage? You know, what do we do? I was on the air. Do you remember when there was a shooting at the Atlanta Olympics? There were acts of terrorism at the Atlanta Olympics. I forget what year.
In the mid to late 90s.
Was it 90s?
Yeah, yes. 97, 98, something like
something
that.
Something I remember. And, you know, sitting here, and just as the host, and, you know, I don't really do political topics. I've kind of veered away from it because it's just everywhere now. There's nothing I can say that would add to the discussion, really. But you know, you feel like you got to cover the story, and you know, whatever the story has been, you know, we have that responsibility to cover the story. And how many times of these moments in history, Shwani, that we sat behind these microphones figuring out what to do, you know, what are we going to do? How do we deal with
it? And every situation is different. You have a common denominator of a shooting or, an event, a bombing of some sort. But then, right, where do you go from there?
Yeah, it's been pretty interesting. Did you say that they sealed off the neighborhood?
Authorities have sealed off the neighborhood as they investigate the area and the house or apartment where Thomas Crooks, who is the person involved in the attempt there, where he lived. So obviously they're going in and, you know, checking out his residence. And
I don't think I've ever heard of where they shut down a whole neighborhood.
Yeah, they've sealed the street and that whole area there.
Yeah.
So,
well, they're obviously going to want to do a very thorough job trying to learn something about this this 20-year-old kid.
20-year-old kid.
With
was a registered Republican.
Yeah.
And then the gun he used had been purchased by his father 6 months ago.
Here, Junior, here's an assault rifle. Don't get it. That's going to be fascinating to me in the days to come of how people react to that. This 20-year-old was given an assault rifle by his parent and had explosives in his car, right?
Yes. Yeah. Explosives. So, you know, the gun, as we say, had been bought by his father. We don't know if it had been given to him yet or if he took the gun. You know, that's the next question there.
Well, I mean, the whole gun issue is going to be turned on its head with this. That's what I mean. It's going to be very interesting to see who reacts what way, and if they react in a consistent way as they have with previous shootings that have taken place, but with high power assault rifles, but not on a presidential candidate, a Republican presidential candidate. So we'll see, right? We'll see. From the text line 773, what a tumultuous week. Have you spoken about Dr. Ruth, Richard Simmons, and Shelley Duvall this morning? We did earlier a little
bit.
Richard Simmons passed away yesterday, 76 years old. Who else? Dr. Ruth, the outrageous, at the time, sex therapist.
96, and then Shannon Doherty, the actress. In addition to Shelley Duvall.
Shelley Duvall was a little earlier in the week, but yeah. It was Shannon Doherty who passed away. We did talk about those, very much so. 708 area code. Hey, Dean, this gun thing sounds the same as the Highland Park shooter, as the shooter in the school with little kids. Can't remember what school was called. And then the shooting in Michigan. All these guns were bought by parents. That's very true, right?
And then they obtained the gun.
Yeah. All very true. That's what I mean, that this is going to be, so interesting to see how people react who were, have an overt reaction with some of these school shootings that took place. Are they going to this time? It's going to be very interesting to see what the reaction's like. All right. Anyway. Let's take a break. We're going to move on to some other things. When we're expecting to hear from President Biden sometime within the half hour. When that happens, we'll break in and bring that to you live. All right here on your WGN. So stick around for that. As I had mentioned to you, the annual Roscoe Village Burger Fest is not this weekend, but is next weekend. And I am honored that I was invited back to be one of their judges. We did it last year, and we had a ball. We tried some delicious burgers, and can't wait for the event this year as well. Becca Gersh is the executive director of the Lakeview Roscoe Village Chamber of Commerce. Hey, Becca, how you doing?
Hi, great to be here. Thanks for having me, Dean. Yeah. And we can't wait for our esteemed judge to return next weekend to the event.
The esteemed,
thank you for coming back.
Esteemed judge, she says.
Yes.
How many years is this now for Roscoe Village Burger Fest?
Our 17th year. Wow. We're thrilled to be coming back for 17 years.
Yeah, this is one of Chicago's big, you know, food events, and it's so fun because you just go from booth to booth, trying different burgers. You know, it's a great family event. You get to try a lot of different things. Explain how everything's going to work this year.
Yeah, so we have 3 days. It's Friday through Sunday, starting this coming Friday, July 19th. We're going to be at Belmont and Damon in the heart of Roscoe Village. And yeah, as you said, I mean, we have 12 burger vendors from throughout the city. We have some homegrown neighborhood, you know, names that we love. Epic Burger, Reclaimed, they're right in our backyard. And then we have some great, you know, great places that everyone knows for a great burger. Fasso's Last Stand, The Stop Along, Robinson's, which does great ribs and is coming to show us their burger skills. And the burgers just are amazing. Really creative ingredients. We've got gluten-free, we've got, you know, beef-free for all different tastes and interests. And as you said, super family friendly. Dogs and kids are our bread and butter over there that weekend. We have tons of kids programming, great music. It's just one of my favorite weekends of the year, even though my legs get a little tired.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, for you, you're working the event, so it's nonstop. But
right,
last year, you know, I had a ball being one of the judges, but then afterwards, just hung out with friends and. You know, you have a couple of nice, cool beers on the street, and we listened to some great music. It was so fun. We had such a fun time out there last year.
It's well known, but it doesn't get too crowded. We've got a really nice, you know, busy but not uncomfortable vibe, and just great music. Friday night we have Rod Tough Curls and the Bench Press, which is just a really fun, interactive crowd pleaser. We've got, you know, Dancing Queens coming in on Sunday. I mean, just some really fun Boy Band Review also. Just some really fun, you know, great vibes going on over there.
Yeah,
so it's a good one.
And Dancing Queen is, it's an ABBA sound-alike band. So
yes, it's just going to be, tribute band.
Yeah, nothing but great memories. Now, do I remember correctly, was it Stop Along that won the competition last year?
They did. Stop Along was our winner. They actually also won our People's Choice. We have the Critics' Choice Award that you participated with our esteemed panel of judges on Saturday. And then Sunday, we award the People's Choice. So you can come and vote for your favorite burger. Even if you're not Dean Richards, you can come and tell us what your favorite was. So we get a vote from, you know, kind of both sides of the audience, and Stop Along was the winner last year. But we love seeing how competitive everyone is, and there's not a bad burger in the bunch.
I'm telling you what, we had so many great burgers. It was a difficult choice, but
yeah.
I'll be out there next Saturday afternoon around 2 is when we'll be doing our judging. Give us all the details again. It's next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right?
Yep. So we kick off on Friday. We'll be there from 5 to 10. And then Saturday and Sunday, both days, will be open 11 to 10 p.m. You can find us at the gate at Belmont and Damon. And then we head west out to Oakley. We've got 2 stages of music. We've got a kids area with inflatables, face painting, some neighborhood partners doing kids activities. We've got dog scarves with burgers on them that we're selling. We've got an amazing t-shirt this year that the neighborhood loves to purchase. So just a lot of good vibes coming out for us.
Yeah, people want to get more info. What's the best way to do that?
You can go to chicagoevents.com. That's our partners, SEM. Or you can go to lakeviewroscoevillage.org, and you can find all the details over there.
Good deal. Becca Gersh, Executive Director, Lakeview Roscoe Village Chamber of Commerce. We'll see you out there next Saturday. Thanks so much.
Can't wait to see you. Thanks, Dean.
All right, so we're going to just kind of play it by ear then, because we are expecting, as you said, to hear from President Biden regarding the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump.
He was briefed about an hour ago in the Situation Room in the White House, and we will perhaps get briefed ourselves here, you know, within a few moments.
All right. All right. So we'll stand by for that. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll, you know, I'm going to tell you a couple of things that I'm going to be doing this coming Wednesday on my TV cooking segment. And I'm looking forward to this Burger Fest. Have you ever gone to Burger Fest?
No.
The Roscoe Village
But Burger I remember Fest? Last year. Was it last year or the year before when you were the judge, one of the judges?
Yeah, last year.
You had this huge burger that you were trying to get your hands
on. I was trying to get my mouth. I'm going to be.
But you said it was great fun, though.
I'm going to be prepared this year. I've already started mouth exercises, so I can get a giant burger. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Okay, Wimpy.
but I've been practicing, you know, stretching my mouth so I can get as much burger in as possible. I've already got some elastic pants that I'm going to wear.
With the big snap on the front of them?
No snap.
No, oh, it's just all elastic.
All elastic. All elastic for maximum stretch potential.
Did you know there was a chain of drive-ins called Wimpy's?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember Wimpy's.
Yeah, they were around, boy, 55, 60 years ago.
They made a good burger.
Yeah, they did.
They were in shopping centers. I remember going to Evergreen Plaza in a shopping
center. Yeah, sure.
And they had a Wimpy's, and it was a big deal to go there. It was a nice char burger, and they had this sort of, I think it was called Wimpy's Relish. That might have been
a special pickle relish that was on it?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And it was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Wish I had my elastic pants back then. I'm going to be quite the scene to behold out there with my mouth stuffed with a burger and my elastic pants. Bring your cameras, boys and girls. It's going to be something to see. Yes, indeed. It is time to eat with Food Time, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. The award-winning All Things Edible program heard every Sunday at this time. So last Wednesday, on my WGN TV cooking segment, we invited some folks in from the St. Spiridon Greek Orthodox Church, 123rd and South Ridgeland in Palos Heights, to come in to show me how to make some Greek specialties that they are featuring at their big Greek Fest, which is going on today. So if you're in the South Suburbs and you're looking for some great Greek food and fun, 123rd and Ridgeland is where the action is. What they serve is all homemade. A lot of the expert chefs from the church are, they've been working for days preparing the food, Greek chicken and pork souvlaki, which is like kind of like a shish kebab. They have a spinach pie, which I had last. I was there last night and had the pork shish kebab and the spinach pie, the spanakopita. I don't know, the salad last night was delicious. Homemade salad, homemade dressing, all these wonderful foods, which we featured on the show. And they brought me a couple of yayas, Greek grandmas, to join me on TV to show me how to make the spinach pie, which is super easy, by the way. So if you're interested in that, you can watch it. WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. We've got the recipes on there, and enjoy it. And as I say, if you're in the South Suburbs, get over to St. Spiridon and enjoy the food. The festival, the Greek Fest, just started, right after church services this morning. It starts up, and I think it goes to like 10 o'clock, something like that, tonight. Out in Libertyville, the Lake County Greek Fest is going on. So if you're way north, similar kind of thing. I've never been to their Greek festival, but I'm sure it's great, and I'm told that they also are serving a lot of great Greek food out there as well. So this coming Wednesday, we're going to be coming off of a few hot days. So I wanted to do something, you know, kind of cool and refreshing in these, crazy hot, humid days that we've got. And I thought I would do some desserts for you, summertime desserts. One of the most popular recipes that I've ever done on television, I get requests for it all the time, is for my super easy no-bake key lime pie. Now, you know, that's fantastic because in this hot weather, you don't have to turn on an oven. You don't have to turn on a grill. You don't have to do anything. You just combine the ingredients, which are a bar of cream cheese, 8 ounces, I think it's 8 ounces, you know, the standard size cream cheese, a can of sweetened condensed milk, some key lime juice. They sell it in most grocery stores. It comes in a yellow bottle. It's a sweetened lime juice. But if you go to the grocery store and go to the aisle where they sell all the juices and, you know, things like that, you'll see it with the lemon juice and lime juice and all that. Key lime juice goes into it. Some whipping cream. You can make it yourself. You know, start from scratch and, you know, whip it up into a cream. You can use Cool Whip, works perfectly fine. Or you can do the canned whipped cream, which I like to do because my favorite thing is, taking the canned whipped cream and squirting it right in my mouth because that's how immature I am. But it really, it's just a matter of, mixing up the ingredients. And the cream cheese, the sweet condensed milk, the lime juice, you mix all that up, put it in a pie crust, graham cracker pie crust, and put it in the fridge for, several hours. So it, gets to a harder consistency again. And take one of your fresh limes and zest some of the zest over the top of it. It's really pretty, but it adds a really nice lime taste. And then put a little dollop of whipped cream on top of it. It's so easy. It's easy to do. You don't have to turn on an oven. Already got the recipe up online if you want. WGNTV.com/DeanCooks is where you can get that recipe. We're also going to do, this coming Wednesday, a brand new recipe, something I have not done on television before. And that is a grilled fruit and yogurt dessert where you take, fruits which lend themselves to be grilled, like pineapple on the grill is amazing. Just enough to get some char marks on it. You don't want to cook the heck out of it, but just enough to get some char marks on. You're going to I've got some, fresh peaches. You cut those in half, take the pits out, put those on the grill. Put a little canola oil, by the way, on the grill and also on the fruit itself so it doesn't stick because you're going to want to, move these around. You don't want them on, as I say, you don't want them on for too long of a time. You really just want to get some nice char marks on it. So the pineapple works great. The peaches or nectarines work great. I'm going to put some bananas on this. You can do mango. You want to slice some mango. Throw that on the grill real quick, just enough to get the char marks. Take the fruit off, set it aside for a minute. And then once it cools down a little bit, take it and cut your fruit into some bite-sized pieces. So now you've got that separate in a bowl. And then take some yogurt. Greek yogurt, I think, is the best. And Fage brand, F-A-G-E, Fage brand, I think, is the best of all the yogurts. It's so nice and thick. You can use just a plain yogurt if you want to. If you want to do a vanilla yogurt, that's a little tastier. So you're going to, you know, put a layer of the yogurt down in a serving dish. You're going to take some pound cake, by the way, also. I forgot to mention. Take the pound cake, slice that into serving portions. Put those on the grill. Get a few char marks on those as well. And, you know, set those aside. So then, you know, lay your yogurt and the pound cake on your serving dish. Take that fruit that you just got done grilling. Sprinkle that over the yogurt and the pound cake. And then take a little fresh mint. Chop that up. The fresh mint on top of all the yogurt and the fruit is absolutely amazing. Then if you've got like a little a bottle of honey, something like that, little drizzle of honey over the whole thing. It's one of the most delicious and most refreshing. And I'm sorry, don't hold it against me. It's also a very healthy dessert as well, but really, really, really delicious. The taking those fruits and putting them on the grill and caramelizing them brings out an unbelievable, delicious, delicious flavor.
I love pineapple that way.
On the grill?
Yeah. Oh,
you know what you can do is, if you don't want to do this recipe, just you know, take a little pineapple. I think you can't beat the fresh pineapple. You know, peel it, core it, and cut it into chunks, throw it on the grill. And then when it's done, take, you know, serving size portion and a scoop of vanilla ice cream in the middle of it.
Great.
As my dad used to say, good night, Irene.
Right.
Not 100% sure what that means, but that's what he used to say all the time.
You know, you were talking about whipped cream and pound cake. One of my favorites almost any time of the year is a strawberry shortcake.
Oh, heck
you
yes.
Don't hear all that much anymore about strawberry shortcake. Fantastic. But that was big when I was a kid.
We used to have it all the time as kids also.
Yeah.
And again, you can just, you know, take that piece of pound cake. I mean, you can find the actual cupcakes, or some people like to use biscuits. But you can use the pound cake. I would grill it a little bit. I think it's delicious when it's slightly grilled. Nice dollop of fresh strawberries on there, some whipped cream, and good night, Irene.
Good night, Irene.
That's all I got to say.
I want to see a picture of you squirting the whipped cream in your mouth. Okay. Right from the can.
Be happy to send that to you. I'm sure I have many photos of that through the years. Quick break, and we'll find out some of your favorite dessert recipes for summertime. Still awaiting not a press conference, I guess, just a statement, right?
A statement, an update from the president after he concluded his briefing this morning, yes.
President Biden, we'll bring that to you just as soon as it happens. 12:53, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Awaiting a statement from President Biden. We're expecting that any time now, as soon as he steps up to the podium, we will bring that to you. And throughout the day, by the way, any new developments on yesterday's shooting in Pennsylvania, we'll bring you updates on that as well, not only with our WGN news crew, but through the resources of our national news channel, News Nation, as well. You know, stick around for that today as you try to enjoy your Sunday. Try to stay cool in this, you know, crazy weather. A lot of people have been asking, you know, about some of the recipes that I've been talking about on our Food Time segment here today. And I'm telling you what, this key lime pie recipe, without a doubt, it's like in the top three recipes or most requested recipes ever since we started doing this cooking segment, what, 3-4 years ago. Something like that. It was one of the first recipes that we did, and people ask me about it all the time. About, you know, you had that great key lime pie recipe. It is a delicious. If you like key lime pie, I know that there are some communists out there that don't like key lime pie. I can't do anything for them. But if you like key lime pie, It's so easy to make, and it is so delicious. That's the main thing. People online, I said the recipe is available online, and I should have been more specific about that. That all of my recipes, all of my cooking segments, actually, you know, the videos of the segments that I do on television, we put everything in one place, WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. So you can see the segments. You can get the recipes. We put them there. If you want to get the recipes, by the way, sent to you automatically every week, there is a way to do that. And that is by texting the word cooks to 97999. If you get your phone out, and like you're going to send a message, you know, where you would put the person's address, you put 97999. And where you would put the message, you just type the word cooks, C-O-O-K-S. And then that'll put you on the mailing list, basically. And every week when I cook something on TV, it'll automatically send you the recipe, so you'll be able to get that. This coming Wednesday, the grilled fruit with yogurt and my key lime pie. I'm going to do both of them on TV. And some people have been asking also about a recipe that I did, I don't know, a couple of years ago, something. It was a cobbler. This time of year, if you do a peach cobbler, you will be, you know, the king of your castle. You will, you know, you'll have points like no other points, because there's nothing more delicious than a peach cobbler. And the peaches are so great right now. You know, they're just really coming into their own in the stores. I've done peach cobblers. A couple of years ago, I did a strawberry and rhubarb cobbler. I did it in a cast iron pan. And, you know, I prepared the, I forget all the proportions. You'd have to go and, you know, check the exact recipe. Again, WGNTV.com/DeanCooks. You check the recipe for the exact proportions, but it's chopped rhubarb that you can easily find at the stores right now. Clean it and chop it into bite-sized pieces. You get your fresh strawberries. I think it was about 2 pounds, maybe, of fresh strawberries. You know, clean them, core them, wash them, obviously, cut them into bite-sized pieces, and set them aside. And then it's a matter of greasing a cast iron pan and putting the fruit mixture. I think we also put, I want to say we put cornstarch. Cornstarch also, I think, went in the mixture, and some sugar. And that all got mixed up and went into the cast iron pan. And then some biscuit mix. Now, you can, you know, you can buy the biscuit mix in a box. You can make it from scratch with, you know, things like Bisquick. They sell it frozen. They sell it in the dairy case, and just put that all on top of the fruit. Rather, you put it on. I put it on a gas grill. I think it was about 350 degrees, maybe, for about 40 minutes. The biscuits cook. The fruits all cook. The sugars all cook. Oh, it's delicious. Then you can do the same thing with just, you know, with peaches or whatever kind of fruit you want to put in it. WGNTV.com/DeanCooks.